many of you on this call have competitors, right? No, if you all had a monopoly, you probably wouldn't be here, right? So when you've got competitors, there's always the question of kind of the lowest common denominator and wanting to be a bit ahead of the herd. And as consumers push for faster execution, more done online, more instant availability, that increases what we call fraud vectors, which are the places by which or the channels by which fraud can be committed. So that leads into kind of discussions around increased competition and participants in the market. You've got a lot of folks looking to make money, capitalize on inefficiencies and arbitrage opportunities in kind of legacy paper industries. The banking sector went through this years ago. You used to have to call up your broker in the 80s and 90s and pay some ungodly sum to transact in the equities market. And now, you know, everybody's cutting rates for equities trades to zero because, you know, Schwab did it first, right? So that increased competition, new participants in markets, all of that was already at somewhat of an inflection point before COVID. And now we've got really a stressed operating environment. And so fraudsters love stressed operating environments because it's just chaotic nonsense. And the biggest things with fraud are obviously being detected and trying not to be detected in your fraud. And then once inevitably detected, the time it takes for you to take action and escalate that fraud. We'll talk a little bit more about why that's important later in the deck. So you've got the changing business environment in general. You've got COVID pushing everything that was legacy paper away from paper. You've got, you know, half the country burning, half the country rioting. Throughout the world, not just in the US, you have disinformation and really aggressive nation state actors where previously nobody thought of North Korea or China as being particularly sophisticated. The internet's been a leveler of that playing field. And we've seen the consequences of that with the Sony Entertainment hack, with a number of the data breaches that have come out. And we should highlight that fraud is not always about stealing money or converting property or assets that are monetary. Those assets can also be data, be it HR data, medical data, or proprietary information around, you know, price-sensitive deals in the market, you know, someone's medical history, et cetera. So the pie has really been expanded over the last 20 years, and that's just been kicked into overdrive over the last 20 months. So the other element to this, and it's why you've seen a lot of the ransomware increases, is digital assets and cryptocurrencies. So on the one hand, the thought of a central bank linked currency is certainly very interesting theoretically. On the other hand, you get into traceability issues, anti-money laundering and sanctions issues. You even get into philosophical discussions around, well, if central banks launch some of these things and determine that they don't like what you're doing, e.g. China, can they just turn your money off or legally repossess it without there being an overt action? And actually, one of the digital currencies that China has rolled out, if you don't use it for 3 months or something to transact, the government in its infinite benevolence simply repossesses it. And so there's a lot of very interesting intersection points here, and fraudsters love this, right? So we've seen a number of kind of statistics that highlight some of this. And I'm trying to see if I can move this. Yeah. So between 2016 and 2020, the FBI got, you know, 2.2 million reports of what's called business email compromise attempts. And the losses that were reported and verified for that totaled over $13 billion just domestically. We're going to talk a lot about business email compromise because it's one of the largest vectors for fraud, and it's probably the most relevant to this group, unless anyone's doing anything really sophisticated with cryptocurrency wallets and transfers, in which case you have to pay for that. So in 2020, BEC attempts and confirmed losses alone increased to almost $2 billion. That's 400% over the 2016 number. And interestingly, companies with a domicile in Texas alone were $500 million of this total. Okay, so I think it was California, New York, no surprise, and Texas leading the top three in the United States. The total number of attempts has gone up about 61% in the last 5 years or so. And what's really interesting is if you do that simple math, the total losses have jumped faster than the total attempts, which means there's more attempts, yes, but they're bigger hits each time. So this isn't $3,000, $4,000 we're talking about. These averages can go up to $100,000, $200,000 at a time, which for many firms is a significant amount of money. And if you're an individual, for sure. The three kind of classic examples are you'll see star ishing. You may have heard of phishing, right? Someone sending you a note, purporting to be somebody else, asking you to click on a link.